We're going to 1 Samuel 3 this morning, a great Old Testament story about little Samuel and Eli and all that's involved in it. 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to read the first four verses as our text, and after we enjoy a song, we'll jump right into this text, and hopefully God will speak to our hearts this morning. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. We're in 1 Samuel 3. Please join me on the even-numbered verses 2 and 4. So we're beginning with verse 1 of chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." Thank you, dear Father, for all of your word. Dear Lord, thank you for this specific portion. May your Holy Spirit be our help this morning as, God, we endeavor to break open this great text and say a few words of encouragement and challenge to our hearts. May the Spirit of God have complete control of all that goes on the next several minutes. Now, this is the pinnacle. This is the high point of our morning when we come to hear from you. So, Spirit of God, speak to us, please, from the precious Word of God. We'll thank you for it and bless the song. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
I found grace to save my soul. At the cross, grace made me whole. When my Savior took control and washed my sin away. Now the fellowship is sweet as I worship at His feet. Only by His grace I have found this holy place. Underneath His wings of love, trusting in my God above. Grace for every need. On my soul at Calvary, only by His grace.
Every valley I have known, such compassion I've been shown, giving strength that's not my own.
Burden that I bear, Jesus comes and meets me there.
Only by His grace,
I have found His holy place.
Underneath His wings,
trusting in my God above. For every need, grace that overflows and far exceeds, lavished on my soul at Calvary, only by His grace. Every heart I hope to reach, every truth I try to teach, every life I strive to serve is by grace I don't deserve. Only by His grace I have found this holy place. Christ for every need. Grace that overflows and far exceeds, lavished on my soul at Calvary, only by His grace.
Only by His grace.
Only by His grace.
Blessing. Great message in that song. Good singing this morning. I appreciate that. I want to draw your attention to verse number 1 of this text here. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. The Bible says the word of the Lord was precious in those days. That's what I want to speak on this morning. In those days. And let's ask God to bless the message now. Thank you, dear Father, for your wonderful grace. It's been the theme of a couple of songs this morning, and we rejoice in the grace bestowed upon us at Calvary and continuing on. The grace that will be bestowed upon us when we see You face to face, Lord Jesus, and are changed. We're grateful for that. Now give us grace in these moments, because if we're going to learn anything, speak anything to be of any help, if we're going to serve the Word of God to people who might need to hear it today, then Father, it must be by Your grace. So reach the heart that needs it the most. Lord, if there's somebody here who's lost without Christ, living, Lord, such a defeated life, I pray that You'll bring victory to them through the salvation that's in the Lord Jesus this morning. We're careful to thank You for it. In His name we pray and ask. And amen. The Bible says in verse number 1, and the word of the Lord was precious. I'm not sure we fully comprehend, and I'm quite sure, in fact, that we don't fully comprehend how important the word of the Lord is to our being. How important it is. Psalms 33:6 says this, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Now if you break that down, folks, that means the very universe in which our planet Earth orbits was made by the word of the Lord. The very sun around which our planet Earth orbits was made by the word of the Lord. The very planet on which we live, that we call home, was created by the word of the Lord. Everything we know as life, everything we know as life, takes place on this planet that God created by the word of His mouth. God made our air source by the word of His mouth. He made our food source by the word of His mouth. He made our heat source by the word of His mouth. He made our light source by the word of His mouth. And so, and by the way, that's all the physical things I'm talking about. The word of the Lord is also critical for us when it comes to teaching us about God and our relationship to Him and in matters that are eternal. So I don't think I'm overstating it this morning by saying there's something mighty important about the Word of the Lord and our relationship with it and to it. That's what we're talking about this morning. The Word of the Lord, or should I say, in this case, the lack thereof. In those days. In those days. Verse number 1 tells us that this is the days when the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Samuel was given to Hannah after she prayed earnestly for the Lord to open her womb. Her and Elkanah conceived little Samuel. After he was weaned, Hannah fulfilled her promise because she'd said, Lord, if You give me a son, give a child, I'll give him back to You. The rest of his life be lent to You. And Samuel had been brought by his mother and dad to the temple as a very young child to learn and serve in that place. It was in that temple that God would speak to Samuel. The word of the Lord came to him several times, revealing God's will for his life. Now, the revelation of God's word came at a critical time, not only for Samuel, but for the nation of Israel as a whole. There's something significant about those three words, in those days, in this passage. In those days. So I want to talk about the word of the Lord in those days this morning. Number one, I want you to see the silence of those days. The silence of those days. The Bible says the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Look at it. Look at the last phrase in verse 1. There was no open vision. Now what that means is this. There were very few and rare occasions when God spoke through one of His prophets. It was not happening frequently. There was no openness. The word open here means to break out, to burst out. It's like something that was held in behind a door or something that was enclosed. And all of a sudden that area was opened and it burst out and it breaks forth. There was very little breaking out. There was very little bursting forth of God's Word. It was very rare. Now folks, look, that should not have been the case. In fact, there is a great danger in that kind of circumstance. How dangerous to be living in a day when the Word of the Lord was closed up and not breaking out to the people and for the people. The God of creation was silent. He was rarely speaking. There was no open vision, the silence of those days. David talked about God being silent. Hold your place in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and look at Psalms 28. Psalms chapter 28. David talked about God being silent. In Psalm 28, the very first verse in that chapter, the book of Psalms, "Unto Thee will I cry, O Lord," Psalm 28:1, "My rock, be not silent to me, lest if Thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." Did you hear that, folks? David said, "Lord, if you're silent to me, if you don't speak to me, if you don't talk to me, if you don't impress your word upon my heart, I will be like those that go down into the pit." Don't turn to it, but in Psalm 83 and verse 1, David cried out, "Keep not thou silence, O God." Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 3. "Keep not thou silence, O God." I think I can safely say this morning that no one likes the silent treatment. You ever been given the silent treatment? Let me ask you in a better way. Are you married? Are you married? You ever been given the silent treatment? Oh, man. And I guess I have to say this morning that I think I've been the recipient of the silent treatment. I think I've also been the giver of the silent treatment over a few times. Maybe once in the course. No, probably several times over the course of 30 years. The silent treatment. You come home and your spouse doesn't talk to you. What's wrong? Nothing. You okay? Fine. At least the ladies do that. With men, it's nothing. I've been so upset and mad before. I know it's hard for you to believe, but I've been so upset and mad before. I purposely avoided the room where she was. I wouldn't have talked to her. I see sly smiles on the corners of your mouth. Nobody likes the silent treatment. That's tough. It's bad to go to work and get the silent treatment from your boss, especially. When that happens, you start going, oh my, that's not good. Silent treatment from friends. Nobody likes the silent treatment. Nobody likes that. And once in a while, you get a child pouting on you. Jabberbox. Till their feelings get hurt because something happened in the home. Dad and mom maybe had to sit on them a little bit or something. All of a sudden, they're pouting and poochy lip. And they're not talking. They're not jabbering. It's a silent treatment. Now, when you get into those kind of situations, be it in a marriage relationship, be it in a relationship with your boss or somebody at work or with a child, those situations are not good and healthy for relationships. There needs to be open communication. We talked about that two or three Sunday nights ago, especially in marriage. Open communication between husband and wife. There has to be open communication between parents and child. Must be.
There's going to be some children who are more talkative than others. Some who are more quiet than others. But there ought to be some communication going on between parents and children. In fact, much communication. That's not good. It's not healthy in a relationship that should be open and communicative. Is not healthy for there to be silence. But that's what was going on in those days. Now, it wasn't a husband or a wife silent. It wasn't a parent or a child silent. And it wasn't an employer silent. It was the Creator of everything they knew as life not speaking to them. There was no open vision. There was no opening up. There was no bursting forth of the Word of God. The silence of those days. Folks, we understand how desperately we need the Word of the Lord. I don't have time to develop all of these this morning. But listen carefully. The Word of the Lord gives His people nutrition. Nutrition. Jeremiah said in chapter 15 and verse 16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the rejoicing of my soul." And Jeremiah didn't mean that he took the word of the parchment paper and put some ketchup or Tabasco sauce on it and put it in his mouth and chewed it up and ate it that way. No, he means he found the Word of the Lord. He opened his parchment and he began to read the Word of the Lord. And the Word of the Lord spoke to his heart. God spoke to Jeremiah's heart. He said, "I ate those words, and they were the rejoicing of my heart. They gave me courage. They gave me strength. They brought joy to my heart." So it's good for our nutrition. Good for our nutrition. The Word of the Lord gives us direction. Direction. Psalm 119, 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I want to tell you something, friend. You and I are living in critical days. I mean days when it is absolutely necessary for us to know where to go, how to walk, what path to be on. And the more this country spirals out of control, I was offended that I was not invited, or Mr. Obama didn't call me to ask you to vote for his health care plan and to be kind and to encourage you. He called some rabbis and he called some religious leaders, but he didn't call me, Brother Gillis. So I'm going to act like he did. His health care plan stinks. And I wouldn't be for any of it. So there you go. Hey, my respects to the health care plan. Amen. We need direction. What are you going to do if it comes to pass? You have to sign up for national health care. Trust God? What are you going to do? Direction. The Word of God gives direction. The Word of the Lord. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's a promise from God. We get in the Bible and God speaks to our hearts through His Word. I've been in those situations where I didn't know what to do. Oh, man. Two or three times really come to my mind right now. Bang, 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 just like that. Two or three situations in life where I had no idea what to do and got my Bible out of a morning, sit down to have my devotions and just open up and begin to read. And it's like God goes, click! And the light comes on. And I think, yes, that's it. That's the answer. That's what I need to do. That's where I need to go with this situation. So God's Word gives us nutrition. God's Word gives us direction. Number three, God's Word gives us salvation. Romans 10:17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of the Lord." By the Word of God. It is the Word of God that teaches us that we're sinners, lost, and on our way to hell. And we're not sinners because of what we do. We're sinners because of what we are. I've never witness to anybody who said to me, "I'm not a sinner." But I have witnessed to many people who said to me, "I'm not that bad a sinner." And when they say that, what they mean is, you know, I'm not a drunk. I'm not on drugs. I don't have some kind of dependency problem. I'm not a red light district woman. I've not ever killed anybody. I'm a sinner, but I'm not that bad a sinner. Let me tell you something, friend. The only kind of people that Jesus saves is sinners. There's no good or bad sinner. We're not sinners because of what we do. We're sinners because of what we are. Our nature is sinful. We go away from mama's birth, mama's womb, speaking lies. Brother Gillis, that sweet little thing you held, little nothing, that sweet big thing you held in your hand. Give her a little time, she'll be lying to you and lying to her mama. It's her nature. It's the way we all are. The Word of God teaches us about ourselves. Teaches us that we're sinners. Teaches us that the wages of sin is to be separated from God forever in the place that the Bible calls hell or the lake of fire. The Bible teaches us, though, that God, in His great love, sent His Son to die on an old rugged cross and pay our sin debt. And that by simple faith and repentance coming to Jesus Christ to trust Him, we could have eternal life, have our sins forgiven, find grace that is greater than all of our sin. Amen. That's what happened on October 15, 1975. This old boy, a hell-bound hellion at a boy's home. And I knelt at the foot of the cross at the altar of Calvary Baptist Church in Graysville, Tennessee, and there was no physical cross there, but that's where I knelt, friend, at the feet of Jesus Christ, the crucified Savior, and trusted Him for the payment for my sin, trusted His death, the burial, resurrection to pay for my sin. The Bible, the Word of the Lord, teaches us about salvation. Can we say the Word of the Lord is important to us? And by what? Whoa, time out. I don't mean it's just important to have a Bible. But I mean for nutrition and for direction, even for salvation. It's that the Word of the Lord in this book speaks to us. Everybody, a lot of folks in this room this morning have a Bible in their lap. By the way, I think it's the right thing to do for a Christian to bring his Bible to church. Just because you're carrying that book this morning, friend, doesn't mean God spoke to you the last 6 days. 14 days? Month? But because I carry the Word of the Lord, Brother Bragg, doesn't mean God's speaking to me. There was no open vision. The impression of God's Word upon the hearts of the people was rare. There was no open vision. You know what's so funny about that, folks? In this day, and I'm talking about the day you and I are living in right now, we are walking communication centers these days. I'm telling you, opportunities to communicate are unprecedented. We got cell phones, we got email, we got texting, we got instant messaging, we got webcam, we got telephones, landline, and cell. We got satellite phones. Vonage, there are so many opportunities. The opportunities to communicate are unprecedented. The honest truth is, I'm not being ugly. I'm just giving you an observance. We have our service. We have an invitation. And we dismiss. And some folks do not get out of the auditorium before your cell phone's turned on, brought back to life, and you're checking it. You can't get out of the auditorium until you're checking your cell phone. I'm not mad. That's okay. If that's what you got to do. Well, what's behind that? Did I miss a message? Somebody try to call me? Somebody try to get a hold of me? Did I miss somebody's message? Do I have a text message? Do I have a voice message? We're passionate about the messages that somebody here on earth may send to us. I'm not against that, but I got a question for us this morning. Are we as passionate about God's message? Are we as passionate about that? I believe with all my heart sometimes, friend, that the craving of communication between people trumps the craving for, is God communicating with me? I can't wait for the service to be done, you know, where God might speak to me so that I can check my text messages. I wasn't supposed to get on cell phones. I said I wasn't going to get on cell phones. I'm not ugly. I got a cell phone. It does more things than I know. Sometimes it's doing things and I don't know what it's doing. What are you doing? It's going crazy. I'm not against that. But brethren, can I say we ought to be far more passionate about whether God's message is getting through to us. I'm talking about the silence of those days. You know, it's interesting. It is interesting. If I can just say this, it's interesting that in Matthew chapter 13, when the sower went forth to sow the seed of God's Word, some of it landed on wayside ground, and the Bible says that the fowls of the air snatched it out before it had time to do any good on that ground. How does that cell phone work? Through the air? I'm serious as a heart attack, folks. I wonder sometimes if the seeds of this book right here that are sown in the preaching services of this auditorium aren't snatched before you get out the door. Because you got to check your voicemail. Amen, Brother Angel. You're meddling, but that's all right. That's good. Yeah, it's okay. I'm just being honest with you, folks. I got a cell phone. I'm not against it. It's not a message. Don't move on, Brother Angel. Okay, yes, I will. That's a good idea. Move on. I got three. Here's what I'm saying, folks. And this is not about cell phones. I said this. We cannot afford to go day after day without hearing from God. I got a Bible. I'm glad you got a Bible. So do I. But there's been times when I've had this book in my possession and have gone days without God speaking to my heart. I'm talking about the silence in those days. But wait a minute. There was a reason for this silence, because I want to show you the second thing this morning is the sin of those days. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, we'll get there in just a moment. But let me say that you get ready to read these verses. It's not normal for God not to speak to His people. Husband, is it normal for you not to talk to your wife? And if you say yes, then you've got a problem. Communication in marriage is not uncommon. Shouldn't be. And communication from parents to child should not be uncommon. Communication in relationships is common. I got a boy 9,800 miles away. And at 5:30 this morning, I was instant messaging with him. That's amazing. Click. He sends it back. Amazing. It's not normal for people in relationships not to communicate. And it's not normal for God not to speak to His children. Once in a while, God says, you know, I'm going to try this brother here. And I'm going to put him into a little bit of a test. I'm going to pull away for a little bit. Like He did Hezekiah, like He did Job. But God doesn't pull away and leave you there. It's normal for God to speak to His kids. But in this case, God had gone quiet to the whole nation of Israel. Why? Because of the sin of those days. Look at verses 12 through 16. The sin was with the priests, the sons of Eli. And it came to pass, verse number 12, chapter 2. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. I'm running out of time. Let me hustle down through here. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 talks about the fact that they were being extremely selfish with the offerings that the people brought to the temple, to the tabernacle. They were taking far more than what they should have taken. Greed and selfishness was permeating the priests. And they were taking far more than they should have. People would bring an offering in. A portion of it was for the priests. The rest of it was for others and for the work of the Lord. But these priests were taking great, great percentages for themselves, being extremely selfish in verses 22 through 25. We won't have time to read all of this. In verses 22 through 25, look at verse number 22. Now Eli was very old, heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. There was sensuality. They were disregarding the principles of holiness, especially when it came to their morals. That's all I'm going to say on that. Look up here. Selfishness and sensuality. Selfishness and sensuality. The sins of those days, selfishness and sensuality. And because of those sins and those that sin, God had ceased to speak to the hearts of His people. Now look, folks, that was in those days. In this day, in this New Testament day, every born-again believer is a priest unto God. We have access directly to God. We can go to Him for our own needs. We can go to Him for the needs of others. God can speak directly to us. There is no middleman. That's not what some denominational churches teach. They teach that you've got to have somebody that you go through, a mediator, a representative to God for you and for you to God. And you've got to talk to them. And you can't talk to God yourself. And you can't understand God's book without them explaining it to you. That's not what the Bible teaches in this New Testament church age. Every born-again child of God is a priest. Got access to Him. And that means that we can speak to Him, and that also means that He can and does speak directly to us unless we get caught up in the same sins that the people in those days were caught up in. Selfishness and sensuality. And by the way, when I use the word sensuality here, it's not isolated to immoral behavior. I'm talking about the emphasis of the physical rather than the spiritual. Sensual has to do with everything about me physically. Selfishness and sensuality. So much of my priority on the physical. So much of my priority on me. So much of my life selfish and self-centered and a me-first life punctuated with caring about the things that are physical. How much fun am I having? Am I comfortable? Do I have enough money? Is my car nice enough? How about this and that? All the physical things. How much am I laughing and enjoying myself and entertaining myself? Folks, the culture of our day is consumed with selfishness and sensuality. That's why people are going bonkers right now. For the first time in 2 decades, this thing is not prospering like it did for 20 years. People don't know what to do. Because all the emphasis has been on the physical. If God's people aren't careful, we get caught up in that. And we get so prioritized with the physical that the spiritual just gets pushed down the ladder and pushed down the ladder. A lower priority and a lower priority. I can't read my Bible today. I've got to check my emails. I don't have time to pray. I got to do this. It's all physical. It's all sensual. And we're losing an emphasis and a priority on the spiritual. That's what God's interested in. In fact, He put it this way in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The things that we're so consumed with. He said, forget about them. Seek Me. Hunger for Me. Desire a relationship with Me, and I'll take care of all the things, all the physicalities of this life. And God's people, as we major on today, more of this and more of that, and better this and better that. And man, before you know it, the spiritual just gets shoved out, shoved out, shoved out, shoved out. Folks, there's only 24 hours in a day. You and I can only put so much physical stuff in that day without sacrificing the spiritual. I'm talking about the sin of those days. Selfishness and sensuality. God said, you don't want to hear from Me? You're not interested in hearing from Me? You got no time for Me? No problem. I'll just quit talking. So I'm talking about the silence of those days. I'm talking about the sin of those days. God, help us. I'm preaching to myself this morning. God, help us. We got to be careful that we don't fill our time with everything but the spiritual. You say, well, here I am in church this morning, folks. Come on, 1 hour a week? 1 day a week? I thought this is His life. I thought I belonged to Him. I was bought with a price. Y'all with me this morning? Talking about the silence of those days. It was because of the sin of those days, and God told us what those sins were in chapter 2. Now, let me hasten to say, and the last 2 points are very quick. Number 3, the sensitive one in those days. Look at verses 4 in chapter 3. There was a sensitive person in those days. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says in chapter 3 that the word that the Lord called Samuel, and He answered, here am I. Look at verse number 10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Yeah, it was time for young Samuel to hit the sack. Did you ever have kids in your home that didn't want to go to bed? Every home's that way, right? Ah, oh, they hate to go. They get that age where they hate to go to bed. Then you get old, you can't wait to get there. Amen. It's no time for Samuel to lay down and go to sleep. He's laying there in his bed in the temple and quietly, probably looking at the ceiling of his little room, maybe thinking about the day, and all of a sudden he hears his name. So he thinks Eli is calling him. He trots down to Eli's room. Yes, sir. He said, what are you doing, son? Well, you called. No, I didn't call. Go back to sleep. Goes back down and gets his little bed. Samuel, you know the story. Finally, after the third time, he goes down the room and says, Eli, what do you want? Eli said, son, I haven't called you one time. Eli, it must be the Lord. You go back and you hear that voice again. Say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now watch me. It was a silent time, but Samuel was in a condition to listen. Time out. Do you realize that the two words, silent and listen, are spelled with the same letters? Just depends on how you arrange them. You know what happens to us, folks? We get our lives so out of order and so crazily arranged that God becomes silent to us. The goal in life is to stay in such a condition with my life, the order of my life, that I am in a condition where I can listen to God speak. There was one who had a heart that was in a condition to listen. In the same day that God was silent to so many, there was one that had a heart condition where it could listen. The young boy was in a condition to listen. The old man was in a condition where God was silent. The young and tender heart was in a condition to listen. The old hard heart was in a condition where God was silent. Sin had hardened the heart of the Elis and the Hophnis and the Phinehases. God was silent to them. But in Samuel's heart, not tainted by selfishness and sensuality, there was a tenderness. It was a good condition for God to speak. Tender heart is good ground for the Word of the Lord. When God's not speaking to anybody else, He can still speak to the individual. To this person and that person and this person and that person, because it's about the condition of your heart and the condition of my heart. The sensitive one in those days, a little boy whose heart was tender. That's what we need. Oh, God, help us. Folks, the Bible talks about the heart being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is so deceitful. It looks so entertaining, so pleasant, so wonderful. And yet it's deceptive. And one of the things it does is harden the heart. The seed just bounces off the hard ground. Just bounces off. Just bounces away. Bounces off. I don't want a heart like that. I want a heart like Paul talked about in the book of 2 Corinthians, a heart that was made out of fleshly tables, not stony tables. Fleshly tables, soft. My flesh is soft. My wife's flesh is softer. And that's good. But flesh is soft. And God wants to implant His Word on the table of our heart. He can't do it if it's like a rock. But He can do it if it's soft. Here was a tender-hearted boy. We sit and watch a television show, listen to them cuss, and carry on, and take the name of God in vain, and think that it doesn't hurt us. The deceitfulness of sin, folks, it hardens our hearts. We don't even realize it. Somebody tells a dirty joke at work, and we don't try to put it out of our mind. We kind of laugh along with them, and we think, oh, that won't hurt. You know, I can get over that. It hardens our hearts. The sensitive one in those days. And then let me say number four, the sad reality of those days. Verses 8 and 9 is the sad reality of those days. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou hast called me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore,
Eli perceived that the Lord had called whom? The child. You know what the sad reality of those days is, folks? That in his room, laying on his bed, all Eli could do was remember the times and years gone by that God had spoken to his heart. And down the hallway, a few feet from where he was trying to go to sleep, was a little tender-hearted boy. And all Eli could do was lay there realizing that God was speaking to that boy and was not speaking to him. That's sad. When's the last time God did something in your heart? Boy, that was great. Your dad did such a good job Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in chapel. And teenagers, I hope that wasn't just a performance to come pray at the altar. I hope that God spoke to your heart. What a sad reality, Eli. Eli laying there remembering the years gone by when God spoke to his heart, when his heart burned and his heart was moved and his heart was stirred and his heart was impressed upon, and there was a reality that God is speaking to me, and all he could do that night was remember the times in the past. And while he was remembering those times in the past, right down the hallway, God was dealing with the heart of that young, tender-hearted boy. I don't want to get passed over. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by. Oh God. Speak to my... Let me ask you something, friend. What sin, what selfishness, what carnal, physical thing is worth sacrificing the word of the Lord? Huh? In the Pacific Ocean, off the coast of Vancouver Island, there is a stretch of water that the mariners call the Zone of Silence. In that area of water, it's acoustically dead. No sound can penetrate. There's also a dangerous reef in that area, several dangerous reefs. And because no bells or sirens can penetrate the zone of silence, the floor of the ocean in that part is littered with sunken vessels. And I'm convinced with all my heart that Christians can navigate into the zone of silence. And friend, if we navigate into the zone of silence where the word of the Lord cannot penetrate our hearts, it's dangerous. And some never come out the other side. I look around the past 30 years and I see Christians that were once vibrant, witnesses, fervent for the Lord, godly people, holy people. Their lives and testimonies are destroyed. How does that happen? Because it's very easy in the life of a child of God to navigate into the zone of silence. And if we get in those waters, friend, it better alarm us. It better make us very concerned. When is the last time God spoke to you? You know what I'm talking about, where your heart just... I don't mean where an emotional story made your eye trickle a tear. I mean where your heart was I don't know about you, but I don't want these days to become like those days in my life. I don't want to lay in my bed and remember when at the same time God's speaking
now to a tender heart. You listening this morning? Talking about the importance of the Word of the Lord and what happened in those days. Let's pray together. Please, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you please give me your attention, even though your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, for just a moment or two? Who's here this morning would say, Pastor, I don't want to get to the zone of silence. Maybe you feel like you're already there. Maybe it's been so long since the Spirit of God took the Word of the Lord and squeezed your heart. Oh, all it is a memory. Like Eli lying in the bed, just remembering when, the way it used to be. Yeah, you've got a Bible. I got a Bible. But when's the last time God spoke to you? Can you go back to a recent service or time in your devotions or meditating in prayer with the Lord when the Spirit of God impressed the Word of the Lord on your heart? So real. Pastor, pray for me. I'm afraid I've been in the zone of silence. I don't want to get in the zone of silence, but somewhere in the message this morning, the Spirit of God touched my heart in this very important matter. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand, please, in the room, all over the room this morning? Would you do that? God bless you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Take your hands down. Anybody else? I should have joined them, Pastor. I should have had my hand up just now. I'm going to be honest. God bless you. I'm going to be honest. It's been so long since the Word of the Lord squeezed my heart. It scares me. I don't want to try to navigate through the waters of the zone of silence. Pray for me. I should have raised my hand just then. I was a little stubborn and resistant, but I'm going to yield now to the Spirit of God. Would you raise your hand? Let me include you in the prayer in just a moment. Anybody else? Yes, yes, yes. Somebody else. That's good. God bless you. Before I pray, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask, how many folks would say, Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. Now just please be honest, folks. Don't be dishonest. Goodness gracious, don't be dishonest anywhere in life, but especially in a church. Don't be dishonest. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know that I'd spend eternity in heaven. If that's your testimony, would you raise your hand, please, wherever you're sitting? But only be honest, please. Thank you. You may take your hands down. Now, in a couple of places, there were folks that couldn't raise their hand. I appreciate your honesty. If you're sitting here this morning and say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand just then. I was honest. I don't know for sure if I died today that I would go to heaven. Couldn't raise my hand a moment ago, but I can raise it now and say, I don't know that. Pray for me, Pastor Angel. Would you raise your hand, please? Just slip it up in the air and put it right back down. Just do that while you wait. Anybody, slip it up. Member, visitor, God bless you. Is there somebody else? I'm not sure I'm saved. I couldn't raise my hand a moment ago. Don't know where I'm going when I die. But I'll raise it now. I won't call you by name. Some of you don't know. Anybody like that this morning? I'm not sure that I'm saved. You're here this morning. You're not sure that you're saved. That's where it all begins. That's where God begins to speak to your heart. Begins to draw you to Jesus Christ. We have Bibles. Folks have Bibles that show you how to be saved this morning. When we give the invitation in a moment, I hope that you'll come. Let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved. I wonder this morning, somebody said, I'm saved and I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Pastor, pray for me. Somebody like that, saved but not baptized. God bless you. If you came to be baptized this morning, slip on out right now while we wait. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. If you've not been baptized and you'd like to know more about it, you come, please. At this time as well, we can talk to you about being obedient to the Lord. If you've been saved, baptized, you've talked to one of us about membership. You know this is where God wants you to become a member and join. We'd love to have you talk to us about it. Or if you already talked to us, you come and join. I'm going to pray. Dear Father, oh dear God, please don't pass us by. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. I want my heart to be touched. I want my heart to be squeezed. I want my heart to be impressed, oh God, with Your Word, with some message from Your book, through some message from a sermon somebody preaches. Oh, some message You give me in prayer. Oh God, pass me not, please. I pray for everyone lifted a hand this morning, oh God, please, that we be careful not to navigate into the zone of silence where God doesn't speak to us for a while. Help us, dear Lord, please. I pray for any who are unsaved in this auditorium this morning that You'd melt the hard heart. Help them to yield and turn to Christ. Bless these who have come for baptism. Lord, bless any who need to come for membership. Oh, God, speak to us. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, Maybe you've already got past me not, O gentle Savior. I figured that. You're very sensitive. That's good. Hear my humble cry while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by. Let's quit playing church, folks. How about for one morning we quit playing church? Let's be honest. When's the last time God, the Creator, your Father, spoke to you? Where your heart burned and you knew it was God. We don't want these days to be like those days. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Raise an invitation. Would you come this morning? If your hands were raised, I hope you should come. Sit down, please. Just respond. I'm not asking you to respond for numbers' sake. I'm asking you to respond for your sake. Holy Ghost of God touches your heart. Don't turn a deaf ear, please. Be honest with the question this morning. How long since God spoke to your heart? Your heart burned. You knew it was God. It wasn't just some emotional story somebody told that kind of worked you up, but you knew God was dealing with it. While we pray together, would you come? Would you come? There might be some who say, Pastor, I'm not even sure what that is. Maybe you need to come and get born into God's family.